It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Next week, we are going to be speaking with Carlos Santana ahead of his concerts later this month in Honolulu and Kahului. So today, we warm up for that with his longtime bassist and band musical director, Benny Rietveld, who grew up here, went to McKinley High School, was privileged to work with Sheila E. during the Prince Purple Rain Tour, ended up working with Miles Davis, too, prior to the gig with Santana. He joins us now. Hey, Benny, thank you for taking time for us.
Yeah, man. Especially Hawaii Public Radio. Are you kidding?
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah.
I was hoping we could explore some stories about a few cats you got to work with prior to the gig with Carlos. Prince, being with Sheila E., big tour, 1984, Purple Rain. I mean, this is a huge moment for all those cats, for Sheila, for Prince, for you.
Sure. Well, first of all, watching him practically every night, it was remarkable because, I mean, he was an amazing performer. Aside from his prodigious musical talent, the guy had a great sense of theatrics, good stagecraft knowledge, a good sense of drama, and he put it all together with this great music. And it was an insanely great show. I mean, I watched that show practically every night. Seeing a master do his thing, you always learn so much. And the idea of really bringing it and never, ever slacking off. It was a month-long tour, and every night. There was no off night or let's just walk through this. It wasn't like that. And that was inspirational to me. Seeing somebody, you know, that's what it takes. I went, wow, okay. Just watching him work or in the studio, you know, like I just watch him put together some of his tracks and like, wow. Because he kind of kept to himself. He was pretty shy at the time, I guess.
Understandable, but, too, with all that attention that was coming on him at that moment.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. So he was quite guarded.
How about Miles? Maybe explain how you ended up with him. And then as you're saying that, maybe it'll come to mind a fun story with him.
Miles is different because he was much older. Much more chill about life and in the universe and things because he got it. With Miles, I got that because of his interest in the new kind of music at the time, which Prince and Sheila were a part of. My disclaimer is I don't actually know, but this is what I heard from Prince's road manager. Either Sheila or Prince or both, after I had left Sheila, suggested that they get me because Miles was looking for a bass player that was familiar with that kind of music. The road manager called me, and the guy asked me, are you interested in playing with Miles Davis? And I was kind of, well, yeah.
What kind of question is that? Hello?
What are you? I'm drugs. So I sent a really poor demo tape, put one together, sent it off. You know, I didn't have a professional cool photo, so I sent some weird Polaroid. And they said, come to rehearsals, Santa Monica. And my first memory of him is him coming into the rehearsal studio, and it was just like the king or the emperor, you know?
Right.
I was pretty nervous about it, about rehearsing. And we went over some things, and we rehearsed about 2 hours at the most. And then he said, okay, let's go. You know, that's it, you know? He just called it. And I was expecting this long, arduous rehearsals. You know, we had a whole week booked or something. And he was walking out, and I asked him, so is that it? He said, I don't like to rehearse too much. It makes me nervous. So I went, okay, cool. You know? And that was my introduction into his kind of really mystical world.
What's a gig that stands out from that, just a humbling moment?
The whole thing was a humbling moment, trust me. But a lot of gigs are memorable, too. We played at the Coach House in
California somewhere.
Yeah, Capistrano or something. Really cool place, really nice. Two things that I remember, and they both happened there. One, we were backstage, I think, after the show, and he was talking to someone else's dad or something. I was in the room, and the guy was going, man, Miles, you know, you sure look young, you know? And he goes, these guys keep me young, you know? And I was like, you know, just so weirdly proud and like so honored to be in that glow. It's like the idea that, well, why would he be getting anything from us? It's us that is getting like everything from him, you know?
Right. But it's more reciprocal, obviously.
Yeah, you know, that was like a real human moment of many, actually. And then we used to have at the same place, I think it was a year later or something, we used to have this song where there's always a reprise. and it would be like double time, you know. Oh, it was a wrinkle, that's right. There would be a big ending chord, da, and then they'd count it off again, the drums would count it off, you know, and it'd be double time with John Scofield's melody going, da, 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 da. And usually it was just a double time tempo. And then that show, for some crazy reason, I think we all got together in the room and said, when we do that again, let's do it even like triple time, like speed metal. Like Metallica. And we went, really, want to do it? Really? And then we thought, okay, this is it. You know, we're actually going to do something completely crazy, because we were thinking, what are we doing? Are we insane? Why are we doing this? Why else is it going to shoot us? And so we did it, and we came back in, and we did the speed metal thing. And he usually plays over it, and he just stopped while we were doing it. And we're looking at each other, and we're like, oh, no, shit, here we go, you know? And he just stopped playing, and he looked down, and he just started kind of laughing a little bit. Like, you crazy kids, you,
right.
You know? And it was a big, like, relief thing. And it also was like another, wow, he's not like Darth Vader, like everyone makes him out to be. He's a chill, wonderful guy, you know? He just loves music. So that's two stories.
No, those are great and very humanizing. Very humanizing.
Yeah. Oh, he was a human through and through, man.
What brought Carlos into your life from that extraordinary experience?
We ended up in a recording studio together. You know, somebody else's album, this guy, Paolo Rusticelli, Italian guy. Wayne Shorter was on it. And this guy, Paolo, had all these different, you know, random people on it. We ended up in the studio together. Carlos had already seen me with Miles anyway, because Carlos was a big Miles fan, so, you know. Then we met in the studio, and it was like, hey, it was a lot of fun. It was really inspiring. So we had a good time, and he said, hey, you know, I might need another bass player. And I said, you know, well, sure. And I'd already left Miles at the time, so, you know, here's my number. And I said, yeah, I'd love to play. And so he said, well, let's come to a rehearsal. And it was basically an audition. And it was just a good thing that I grew up listening to those guys. I mean, you know, I was all up in those first four albums, you know, in Hawaii.
Had you seen them at the Blaisdell or anything when you were a kid?
I had seen him with John McLaughlin.
Oh, man, with Billy and everybody at the...
Yeah, I was there. I was also there at the Buddy Miles Carlos thing in the Crater Festival.
Wow.
I mean, I was like, you know, I would go home, you know, come home from school, you know, and depending on what year, you know, smoke a bowl. So I knew that stuff pretty well. So I went in and they were like, oh, you know, geez. Because a lot of the guys they had been playing with, some of them were really great bass players, but maybe they didn't really
know the catalog.
Yeah. So they said, yeah, let's play. And I'm still here because Carlos, his only thing is just like Prince or just like Miles, it's like always throw down when you're playing, you know, just never phone it in, none of that. The mandate is to play your ass off, play with all every inch of your heart and soul and passion.
That is a wonderful thought to leave it on. Great talking to you. I met you 27 years ago at the Trump Taj Mahal, brother, right after you played with the great Armando.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
The late Armando Peraza, the longtime conga player for Santana.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's Benny Rietveld, bassist, musical director for Santana, who will be our very special guest next week. Carlos himself joining us, and Benny this week. Really appreciate it. We'll hook up when you come to town. And thanks so much for doing this. Hope this wasn't a hassle. Really appreciate your time.
No, you're great. Thank you. Hi, this is Benny Rietveld from Santana, and you're listening to my good friend Dave Lawrence at Hawaii Public Radio.